So Matthew 22. Jesus spoke to them again in parables, saying, "The kingdom of heaven is like a king who prepared a wedding banquet for his son. He sent his servants to those who had been invited to the banquet to tell them to come, but they refused to come. Then he sent some more servants and said, 'Tell those who've been invited that I have prepared my dinner. My oxen and fattened cattle have been slaughtered, and everything is ready. Come to the wedding banquet.' But they paid no attention and went off, one to his field, another to his business. The rest seized his servants, ill-treated them, and killed them. The king was enraged. He sent his army and destroyed those murderers and burned their city. Then he said to his servants, 'The wedding banquet is ready, but those I invited did not deserve to come. So go to the street corners and invite to the banquet anyone you find.' So the servants went out into the streets and gathered all the people they could find, the bad as well as the good, and the wedding hall was filled with guests. But when the king came in to see the guests, he noticed a man there who was not wearing wedding clothes. He asked, 'How did you get in here without wedding clothes, friend?' The man was speechless. Then the king told the attendants, 'Tie him hand and foot and throw him outside into the darkness where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. For many are invited, but few are chosen.'"
Thanks for reading that, Karis. I seem to not have learned how to do this. Anyway, we're going to pray. So let's pray together as we come to God's word now. Father, we thank you for what we've been listening to, speaking about, thinking about this morning. You are the king of this world, the one who has made us. And yet you graciously, in your kindness, speak to us. And not only do you speak to us, you speak words of invitation, that you call every one of us to come to you, to enjoy life with you, and you give us this immense picture. Father, I pray that each one of us this morning, as we hear these words, would be reminded of your graciousness and your love, and that we would be drawn to see the goodness of this invite, and that you would draw our spirits to respond with joy. And we pray these things for your glory. Amen. Well, I wonder how you feel about warnings. When you think of the word warning and having a warning, how do you feel? We live in a world of warnings, don't we? We've been warned a lot over this last year. We need to keep our masks on. We need to stay away from people. There are warnings when you're driving a car. You need to slow down when you take certain corners. You might remember warnings that your school has given you, or maybe given other pupils, to keep their behavior under check. I think probably our first gut feel for a warning is not a nice thing. We'd rather a world without warnings. We'd rather not be those who received warnings. And yet we probably don't have to think too hard about things until we realize that actually warnings can often be immensely loving, can't they? You see, you can live without warnings when you have no dangers. But if you live in a dangerous world, often warning people about those dangers is one of the best things you can do. I'm glad that chemicals are marked with a warning sign telling me not to get it on my hand because it's going to irritate my skin. I'm glad my parents told me not to run into a road. Cars are dangerous. Warnings can often be an expression of deep love. Well, as we come to this parable, this is the third of three parables, stories that Jesus is telling those who are listening, which is acting as a warning. It's a warning against rejecting the invitation that we've started to think about in our service. And he utters these words not to undermine us, but to warn us of the seriousness of failing to respond, or failing to respond rightly. So Jesus' big point to us this morning is an invitation: come to the banquet. And he does that using two warnings. But look with me at the parable. Look down at verse 2. Jesus says that the kingdom of heaven is like a king who prepared a wedding banquet for his son. I guess over this last year, you've probably not been able to go to that many weddings. We got invited to one that was online. Lovely to be able to watch friends getting married online. You don't get the banquet, unfortunately. We know that a wedding banquet is a time where you're celebrating a marriage that is starting, but you get to enjoy the food, the fun, the entertainment, the laughter, the joy. Jesus says, that's a picture of what my kingdom is like. But notice, this isn't just a good party. This is a royal party. This is a wedding for the king's son. We've had a number of royal weddings in the last decade, haven't we? Just cast your minds back to those. They are not normal weddings, are they? You know, the best food and chefs flown in from around the world. All sorts of interesting trees kind of lining everywhere. They're the parties that everyone wants to be at. There's a big fuss made on the news as to who's invited and who's not. It's an immense privilege and honor to be at the royal wedding because that is the best party. Well, Jesus says this isn't just a party, this is the king's party. And so verse 3, he sends his servants to tell those who've been invited to the banquet to tell them to come. Now, slightly differently from how we would do weddings, in those days, you would agree to going to a wedding. But you obviously didn't know how long it would take to get things ready. So these guys have accepted the invite. They've said, yes, I want to come. And now the king has got everything ready. Dinner's on the table. He sends these servants, say, okay, it's ready. Come on now, join the party. But look at how they respond, end of verse 3. They refused to come. They don't want to come. Well, I don't know how you would feel if you've gone to the effort of a big party. It's a massive honor. You've invited guests. We're not even given an excuse here. They simply don't want to turn up. How would that make you feel? How would you respond? Well, look at how graciously this king responds, because verse 4, he sends more servants. And he said, tell those who've been invited that I've prepared my dinner, my oxen, and fattened cattle, they've been slaughtered. I've got everything ready. It's on the table. It's ready to be eaten. Come and enjoy this banquet. He's trying to entice them. Change your mind. Come and join in with the fun. But verse 5, they paid no attention. We've thought about in our service already making bad excuses and the way that a bad excuse can really be an insult. Try not responding, blanking. You don't even think it's worthy of making the excuse. No, they don't want to come. They simply go off. One to his fields, another to his business. They're the ordinary things of life, the selfish pursuits that they have. They just throw themselves into those. And bear in mind that this invite is not from a friend of theirs. This is the king. They're saying no to the king. In fact, it's the king who has given them the space in order to have their business, the economic prosperity and defense. There's an irony in this. But verse 6, it gets worse. Some just ignore these second servants, but the others seize them. They ill-treat them, and they kill them. We have that phrase in English, don't we? Don't shoot the messenger. When a messenger brings bad news, there's a temptation to take it out on them. Well, here are messengers bringing good news, and yet it so enrages these guests that they want to silence them. They want to kill them. Well, this king may be gracious, but they've crossed a line because verse 7, he is enraged. This is an outrageous way to treat both his servants and also himself. And so he sends his army and he destroys those murderers and he burns their city. But the story doesn't end there. Because verse 8, the king now turns to his servants and he says that the wedding banquet is ready. All of this food is prepared. But those who were invited, they've shown themselves not to deserve to come. So go to the street corners. These were the kind of outskirts of the town and the city. These were the places that those who would never dream of going to a royal wedding would live. He says, go out, anyone you can find. And so the servants go out into the streets and they gather all the people, the bad as well as the good. This is an invitation that is truly free to anyone who will simply receive it and say yes. And so the wedding hall was filled with guests. Well, here I think is our first warning, and that's this. Don't reject the invite. Don't reject the invite. See, look at how good this invite is. I mean, there are lots of ways that God does and can describe his kingdom, but what a rich picture this is. A banquet, a wedding banquet, a royal wedding banquet. This is a picture of joy and life and celebration. You see, this was a picture God used in the Old Testament. And the king here in this story is God inviting people to join him in rejoicing over his son. You see, this is a picture of salvation. This is a picture of what Jesus has come to invite us to. He says, I have come to die on a cross to bring you into this sort of relationship with the Father. If you are looking for joy and happiness and fulfillment and satisfaction in life, this is where you find it, in my kingdom. But you see, it's a sobering reminder that simply being invited to something isn't the same thing as turning up. I remember a bank in London ran an experiment where they put up in their window a sign that said, come inside for a free £10 note. That was the offer. Anyone who comes in, free £10. This is in a central part of London. Hundreds of thousands of people are walking by on their break. Do you want to know how many people said yes? You probably guess no one. No one came in to take up that offer. You see, being invited requires a response, and that's Jesus' point here. He's speaking this parable. Sorry, can I just check? Would you like me to use another microphone? Do you want me to use this microphone? Probably should have done that earlier. There we go. I'm sorry if that's annoyed people. Where are we? Yep. So Jesus is speaking this parable primarily to the Jews. He's turned up in Jerusalem, and they have rejected Jesus. They are not listening to him. Their refusal of Jesus is the refusal of the invite to this wedding. You see, they had the promises of this messianic banquet. They were the ones who said, yeah, we are looking forward to the day God's king turns up. We're going to be at that party. And yet Jesus is pointing out the tragic nature of the fact that they are refusing to come to the party because they are refusing to come to Jesus. But you see that the wonderfulness of the fact that that invite doesn't stop with those Jews. Now, that invite has gone out to everyone. It's gone out to the street corners. I think that means a range of things, but at the very least, that includes those who were outside of God's kingdom, the Gentiles, those who were far off. Now, anyone who hears the gospel message can come to Jesus and is invited to come to Jesus. But here's the warning to us. Have we responded to that? Have we come to Jesus and said yes? Have we put our trust in Jesus? We were singing that wonderful song earlier, all my trust is in your blood. That is what it means to be a Christian. It's not coming to the party thinking we are worthy of being invited because we are good enough. No, both the bad and the good are invited. The reason anyone is welcomed into this wedding banquet is simply because of Jesus. It is trusting what Jesus has done. You see, that was the stumbling block that the Jews couldn't get their heads around, that they too needed Jesus. And so this invite stands to us. Will you respond? Some of us may well have grown up in Christian families, in countries that call themselves Christian. Jesus says it's not enough. You have to come to Jesus. You can't simply be religious. You can't aim to love God in any other way. No, trying to do so is rejecting this invite and it is spurning the King. Come to Jesus. That's his call. That's the first warning. Don't reject the invite. But the second warning is this. Don't come unprepared. Look at verse 11. When the king comes in to see the guests, he's walking around the hall and he notices someone who stands out from the crowd because he is not wearing wedding clothes. You could kind of imagine how the hall must have felt as the king now addresses this person in front of everyone, the hushed quiet. How did you get in here without wedding clothes, friend? Dress codes are important, aren't they? I'm sure as we hear this story, we could think of times where we've been confused about what to wear. What does smart casual even mean? But dress codes are more than simply fitting in with what other people are wearing. How we dress for particular occasions shows something of our attitude, doesn't it? Those of you who are at school, you have to wear a school uniform. That's not just to identify you as belonging to that school, though I'm sure that helps. It's trying to invoke in you something of the right attitude you have as you go into school. This is a place to learn. There are teachers you need to respect and honor. Taking your uniform seriously is a way of taking school seriously. Or try another illustration. Imagine going for an interview. Would you ever dream of turning up in your pajamas? I realize now things are on Zoom, that may seem less of a far-fetched than it once was, but would you ever really turn up to an interview in pajamas? Well, I don't think that's just because you'd be embarrassed, though I'm sure many of us would be. It's because what sort of signs or signals would that be sending the person you are asking a job from? I can't even be bothered to put on my clothes. Now, how we dress shows something of our attitude. And it's the same with a wedding. We all know if we were invited to a wedding, we would prepare. We would put on suitable clothes. That's part of embracing what it is to be a guest at that wedding. Well, this man has turned up to the wedding banquet and has been unwilling to prepare himself. See, some people have wondered whether actually this is unfair. Does the man not have any wedding clothes? You know, he's invited from the outskirts of town. And yet, look at the man's reply. The man was speechless. He has no reply. That's because there is no excuse. He knows. He's been called out. He realizes that his attitude in not preparing himself doesn't just show laziness. It shows a lack of concern for this king who has invited him to this immense privilege of having a seat at his table, enjoying his wedding feast. It's simply a slap in the face. You see, I think this is Jesus drawing attention to something that he's mentioned a number of times in Matthew. See, we don't get into this wedding banquet. We don't get into Jesus' kingdom based on what we do. It is completely Jesus. It's trusting in Jesus. And yet, a kind of a sign of how we've understood that, it is our willingness to follow Jesus, to love Jesus, to accept gratefully what has been given to us. Jesus, a number of times, calls people to follow. It's not good enough to simply want to take from Jesus' kingdom on your own terms. No, there is this immense invitation, this wonderful privilege, but he calls us to join his kingdom, to prepare ourselves, to follow Jesus. Yes, imperfectly. Yes, still trusting Jesus for forgiveness. But we cannot turn up to Jesus' kingdom and think we can enjoy the fruits of it on our own terms. To do so would be as ridiculous as turning up to a wedding in our own clothes, and it shows utter contempt for God's kindness. Well, verse 13, the king responds by telling his attendants, "Tie him hand and foot and throw him outside." This man is not getting back into the party, into the darkness where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. We've heard Jesus use these phrases before, and they are horrible words that the Bible uses to describe what a life that ultimately rejects God will look like. It is a life in the dark. It is a life without joy and happiness. In fact, it is marked by weeping, sadness, and at the same time, anger. So much anger that teeth are gnashed and grinded. We don't like to think about this picture. It's what Jesus talks a lot about. Why? Because he wants to warn us. This is Jesus' heart of love towards us. Don't take Jesus lightly. Don't take this kingdom lightly, because you don't have to end here. That's what Jesus is calling us to. Now, I just want to say a word to those who have tender consciences, because I know that every time we hit verses like these, they can be ones that stir up anxiety and concern. Jesus isn't trying to undermine anyone's confidence who's come to Jesus. Those words of that song again that we sang, "All my trust is in his blood." This is not drawing attention to someone who is trying to follow Jesus and yet realizes how far they fall short and how much they need his grace. No, that is a sign of really understanding the gospel and of following Jesus. The attitude here is someone who just wants to take but is unwilling to listen. And Jesus says, beware. Don't come to the party unprepared. Well, Jesus now summarizes verse 14 with these words, "For many are invited, but few are chosen." Many are invited to the party, but few will be shown to be chosen by God. The word chosen here is significant because this was how the Jewish people thought of themselves. They were God's chosen people. God had made wonderful promises to them. They felt confident and entitled in that. If they were to say this phrase, they'd probably flip it round. Many are chosen. We're all chosen. We're part of the Jewish people. Few are invited. But Jesus says, no, you have misunderstood. Being chosen, being part of God's people, comes by responding to Jesus. And sadly, despite this message going out, even then, many will reject it. We started by thinking about warnings, didn't we? Warnings are acts of love when the dangers are real and serious. And Jesus wants to warn us because he loves us. He wants each and every one of us to come to him, to be those who respond to Jesus, to give our lives in following him, but to receive this immense gift of a place at his wedding banquet. And what an unbelievable God. What a gracious God that calls us to do such a thing. Our prayer is that that would be each one of us responding in that way. But let's just take a moment to reflect, and let me lead us in prayer. Father, we thank you that you don't minimize things that are hard to hear because you love us, and that you long that there would be no one who would reject this invitation. Father, we thank you for your immense grace as our creator and our king, not calling us to a life of slavery to you, though you would have the utter right to do that, but rather inviting us to celebrate with you in your son, to be welcomed at this great wedding feast, to enjoy life and happiness and satisfaction in you. Father, we thank you for how good and immensely wonderful this invite is. And we thank you that it doesn't depend a single instance on us. That both the good and the bad, no matter who we are, no matter what our background, no matter what we feel like we've done, there is forgiveness in Jesus. There is new life in him. Father, would each and every one of us hear this invitation, and may we respond joyfully. May we respond thankfully. Might it change our hearts and our attitudes to you as our King, and would we come prepared, willing to love and follow Jesus because he evokes that from us. And Father, we pray, I'm sure thinking of many family and friends who we would just long to come to Jesus. Father, may you work in their hearts that they would respond to him in that way. And we pray these things all for your glory.
Amen.